literary arts part of Arts Walk. First, let me just talk a little bit about Arts Walk itself, if I may. Lee Gould is here. Look at this. Chocolate is coming in. Oh, thank you, thank you. Energy at last. Lee, maybe feel free to chime in if I'm saying anything wrong about Arts Walk.
Okay.
At any point. And Lou Azikoff is also here, is a poet, and is going to be reading a little something to us a little later on, and is going to be one of the participants in the readings in the Literary Arts Program. Just briefly, Arts Walk, for those who don't know, is sponsored by the Columbia County Council on the Arts. This is the 18th year it's been in going, and it started out in Chatham and involved, I believe, performing arts and visual arts.
The actual Arts Walk started in Chatham.
It did start in Chatham. Or at least not in Hudson. I believe it was Chatham. That's where their office was. It then came to Hudson. I think the Hudson artists protested that they weren't including Hudson artists. So it then somehow, the visual arts part of the festival came to Hudson, and it was split between the two towns. It eventually became more of a Hudson festival, and it was, I think at that point, only the visual arts.
Right.
And it has since expanded, and finally, the literary arts were brought into it, about time, right?
In 2009.
2009.
This is our fourth year.
Were you involved in it from the beginning?
Oh, no, I don't think I was even in Hudson then. I think it was David King and Chad Wexler.
Uh-huh.
Who's are involved,
I know,
here.
Yeah, I knew Chad was involved in it.
Yeah, and they did. This is my first year doing it.
And we'll get into the program a little later. It sounds really, really interesting this year, I think. This week, the schedule for Arts Walk is that it starts on the today, actually, with a en plein air paint out at Olana State Historic Site up on the top of the hill, where people can watch painters actually in the landscape painting the landscape. And then there will be an auction of those same works on Saturday. You will find many, many artworks being displayed by members of the Arts Council in a program called Windows on Warren in the shops along Warren Street, and Windows on Main in shops on Main Street in the village of Chatham.
Now, is there also a sort of central Pocketbook Factory show or something like that, or is it all on the windows now?
No, it's all in the windows now.
I see.
Yes. And there are a couple of solo shows. There's one at the Chamber of Commerce with work by Kenneth Young, and another at the American Glory Restaurant with work by Fran Heaney. And there's a performing arts festival at the Hudson Opera House. Someplace I have information about that. I'll find that in a minute. And that's what's happening this week. Next week, things really get going into full swing. And there's a lot of activity on the waterfront. There is an artist marketplace in a big tent in Henry Hudson Riverfront Park, and a program called Arts Walk Kids that happens not only in the park, but I think also on Warren Street. There are some activities for kids. And the literary program, it goes over 2 days. We'll hear about that in a minute. And at the Arts Council Gallery, there are some special events. There's almost too much.
There's a lot
to take it all in, and too much to talk about. So I'm going to direct you to a website called CCCA, that's for Columbia County Council on the Arts, CCCAArtsWalk.org. webs.com. And there you'll find lots of information about what's happening. So, Lee?
Yeah.
Tell us about the program and...
Okay. We have 12 readers over 2 days, each day 12 to 5. And we're so lucky because the first day we're in the Common Council Chambers in City Hall. Mayor Hallenbeck is opening the room for us, and he's welcoming everybody to the hall, to Hudson and to the literary arts program. So we're delighted with that. I think he's going off to judge the Chili Fest, though, afterwards. and then on Sunday, we're at the Hudson Opera House. And the programs, the 2 days, are a little bit different. Sunday's poetry is a little bit more experimental. It includes sound poetry. We have a digital novelist. We have a mystery writer on Sunday. Whereas Saturday is established poets, fiction writers, memoirists. We have wonderful people on Saturday. It seems to me that most people will want to be there from 12 to 5, both days, all day. It's just that good.
Now, could you explain a couple of things there? You said a digital
novelist.
What's that?
I just learned about it. Ilya Selak, who's a doctor in town here, is a digital novelist, and she's writing her second novel now. Her first novel is already up on the web. I was so surprised. She's my doctor. I was in the office and I found out she wrote a novel, 90,000 words up on the web. I didn't know how she'd have time for me. But anyway, it's called Reconstructing Mayakovsky. And what makes it, a digital novel is it's up on the web, but it has all kinds of unusual, characteristics. For instance, you can read the chapters in any order, and there's art and there are voices. So there's on the website, there's a black sky and tiny numbers like stars. And if you click on one, you can listen to any chapter, and it's science fiction. Now, Mayakovsky was a Russian poet, so I didn't hear all of it because 90,000 words of science fiction is a lot. But what I did hear, I absolutely loved. It's very mysterious and haunting. But her second novel is quite different. It's called Queer Skins, and she is taking advantage of her being a doctor here in Hudson and is writing about a doctor who has AIDS. And that's going to come out, I don't know anything about this stuff, okay, as an app.
An application.
You're right, but I don't know why it would do that. Why can't it be somewhere we can all read it? So, I don't know. So that's her second project. And then her third project has to do with a novel she's writing about Korea. And she's been writing for the Huffington Post travel articles because she's done research in Korea. So she's very interesting and quite local. Now, the writing is not experimental. The digital nature of it and the interdisciplinary, the art and the music and the sound, that makes it unusual. And her reading, she'll do projections and sound. I can't wait. I don't quite know what to expect. I've never heard anything like it.
Tell us her name again.
Ilya Selak.
And she's reading on Saturday?
She's reading on Sunday.
Sunday.
Actually, we're starting from the back. She's mm-hmm. the last person.
Are the majority of the readers or all of them local or regional?
Okay, everybody's from New York State. Nine mm-hmm. are upstate. And it ranges, I guess, from Helen Klein Ross is from Amenia, New York. And she's relatively new. And Peg Boyers is from Saratoga Spring. We have a poet from, is it West Park, I think? So it's kind of local.
And did they all apply or ask to be included? Or did you, as curator, choose them?
Oh, no. I I went after everybody. How did I do it? Well, Peg Boyers, who's the editor, co-editor with her husband of Salma Gundy magazine, is part of the Summer Writers Institute, where I study poetry in the summer. So she's become a friend of mine. So I asked her, she's friendly with Mark Strand, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner, MacArthur Fellow, who was Poet Laureate in 1990. So he decided he wanted to come up. As Lewis says, Hudson is really a destination.
That brings me to Lou Azacoff. We don't want to leave you out of this, so come closer to the mic and feel that you can chime in whenever the spirit moves you.
I will.
Good. Okay. Tell us about the other writers, if you will. It sounds really fascinating already.
Okay. Let's see. Well, the program is actually starting with Mary Beth Hughes, who is a short story writer and a novelist. And she's going to read with Lewis, so we can talk about that together, or them together. She has two her recent book is Double Happiness, which of course no one ever has, a short story collection, and her novel is called Wavemaker 2. And would you like me to go and tell you more about her writing now, or?
Well, why was she chosen? Maybe we can take it from that.
Well, she's read in Arts Walk before, and mm-hmm. I love her work. You know, one thing about being the curator is I get to choose people I really like. And she's exceptional. Her work is, she really can feel her way into the minds of her characters in a way that I've never seen before. When I was a child, I loved the idea or thought, if only I could be in somebody else's head for a little while and know what it was like and know if I were like other people and so forth. Well, she can actually do that with her characters, and I love that. It's very mysterious and interesting. And I love her sentences. I don't think anybody writes like her. I can give you an example. In her short stories, Double Happiness, there's a little girl who's watching her mother frantically look for her. And the sentence goes, bent forward in her ivory coat and off-white stretch pants, she, the mother, looked to Olivia like a big wishbone strained to the limit. Well, when I read that, I wonder if Mary Beth Hughes had fun writing that. When I read that, this woman with these two legs like wishbones, I started giggling. So I like that. I was very caught up in her sentences.
And how did you happen to put her together on the program with Lou? Or did it
it partly happened, but there are reasons why they would be together, which Lewis can tell you. But Lewis, it's funny to talk about you with you here, but Lewis writes dramatic monologues.
I'll pretend I'm not here.
Okay. And so he, too, gets into the minds of the characters that he either has researched and writes about in his poems or he creates. So there's a real similarity. One person is doing these dramatic monologues or persona poems, and the other is creating characters in fiction. And so they're beautifully balanced.
Now, would this be a good time for Lou to read a poem?
I think it would be.
Okay, I won't read one of the monologues because they take a long time. My latest book is a verse novella, and it's about a 90-page monologue, one man speaking on the telephone to another. So I won't do that. I'll read at least one short poem. And it's in part inspired by a wonderful story teller, Gioia Timpanelli, who I heard many years ago telling stories, and it takes up the idea of storytelling a little bit. It's called The Widows of Gravesend. It is told, and it is told, and it is told again, whispered in the kitchen by women dividing violets, separating beans from stones. There came a man then, walking in his father's shoes, who heard the three dogs barking by the stream, and at the crossroads, owned neither by this woman nor that man, saw two white horses in a line and said, "Yes, I am a wanderer in my own land." Who are you, anyway? An old crow fallen among gold apples? A man shaving his father's face in the mirror? Naked under the white sow of the moon, with only the fake book of beauty for feeling, you think, "What is my life? A dog abandoned at the end of summer, a walk in the rain. I have lived with my body so long. Is it not my soul?" Sadness tunes the instrument. There's a chill on everything. You feel the surge, the violent momentum of emptiness filling immense forms, energy frozen in each cell, the snowplow in a sea of waves, spellbound by starlight. Night, night, sweetest sister, weary river flowing on, who will sing all our tomorrows? The lucky ones who continue to live, having nothing?
Thank you.
You know, I don't think there's a poet around that's as good as Lewis. And that's why I included him and asked him to do this. That poem is so moving. I so love that line. "I have lived with my body so long. Is it not my soul?" That's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
So, Lee, is there anything else you would like to tell us about this?
About Mary Beth or about?
About the event in general or about Mary Beth or any other participant?
There are only 10 more, so I can tell you quite a lot. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about Helen Klein Ross, because she's not very well known. And life for her is very exciting right now. She's just gotten a novel accepted by Simon and Schuster. But I know her more as a poet. She's the only person I know who has fallen in love with advertising copy. And she uses advertising copy in her poems. She loves the language. In fact, she markets she tweets on Twitter, I guess it is, I'm so old-fashioned, under the name, Hatchkey? Is that what it's called? Hatchkey? Adbroad. So she's just so very different. And her poems are kind of whimsical and at the same time very accessible. One of them starts, "Sometimes I long for my first husband, the seahorse," which is really kind of a surprise. And then she talks about how it turns out this guy, the seahorse, is really vain about his long neck, but easy to cook for. And then it turns out that best of all, he insisted on being the one to get pregnant. So some of her stuff is just very entertaining. But of course, every time I think of a seahorse, I think, you know, I think of the satyr, you know, half man, half horse, a being of very strong appetites. So this seahorse, this person, or whatever, is a little bit different. She also does very moving poems. She has one quite different, "Because I can come only this far with you," which is interesting. She's made a collection of poems based on a book written in 1853, in which somebody had the brilliant idea of writing single sentences and numbering them and giving them to travelers. So if you were traveling, say, to the West or somewhere, and you wanted people at home to know how you were, you could just telegraph home a number rather than a whole message, so it would be inexpensive. And this title, because I can come only this far with you, is, I'm sure, is one of those from her collection, 1853. So she's really interesting. She's very unusual. She also is a writer from the Writers Institute.
So poets are there in or how many people are going to be reading poetry? Because I'm learning today that people not only write poetry, but also novels.
People who are poets often are also playwrights and novelists and essayists. But most everybody teaches because, except for perhaps Billy Collins, they have to earn a living. So most people are teachers, and that helps them, I think, read very well.
And Billy taught for almost 40 years in City University at Lehman College. So they all teach. And even Allen Ginsberg came in from the cold to Brooklyn College, where he taught with me the last 10 years of his life.
You taught at Brooklyn College?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And John Ashbery was there, too, so that's a local connection, I suppose.
Have you taught in the Hudson Valley?
No, I taught at Brooklyn for 42 years.
That was enough, huh?
It was enough. I had a good run, and now I don't have to teach. I have nothing to teach. I'm done teaching. Now I just listen.
Right. Well, they're not all poets. I mean, Honor Moore, who wrote The Bishop's Daughter, is coming. But, of course, she's a New Yorker. She's up here in the summer at Saratoga Springs, so she's sort of upstate. She writes memoir, but she also has written poetry. And then we have our mystery writer, David Black, who wrote a book called The Extinction Event. But I've been told to be very careful about David Black. His best friend told me that he's much more than that, and that's true. He's a TV script writer. He wrote a book of poems. He has 5 novels, and I think he's also an essayist. But he's going to read this Extinction Event for us. And I'm not exactly, I don't follow mysteries very much, but this one is very interesting because David Black himself is a kind of Renaissance man, you know? He knows so many things about things. So his hero, Jack, is courting his sidekick, Caroline, and by courting her, he woos her by telling her stories. So we learn about Henry Hudson and the history of the Half Moon and something about Shakespeare and the letters of Walpole and photographs from the Civil War. And it all takes place right around Hudson. Right up on Route 9, there's a motel. Warren and 4th Street, the lovers meet. So he's very interesting, and he's not a poet. Well, he does have that one book.
This sounds like an absolutely wonderful, fascinating program. So there goes Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, good.
Taking up with
now tell us
reading.
The one more time the venue and the time.
Okay, on Saturday we are at the Common Council Chambers in City Hall, and for those of folks don't know where City Hall is, it's at 520 Warren Street, beginning at noon with Mary Beth Hughes and Louis Asikoff, and ending at 5:00 with Mark Strand and Peg Boyers. On Sunday, we're at the Opera House, which is 327 Warren Street in the West Room, and we're beginning with experimental poets, local poets, Charles Stein and George Quasha. They're going to read their poems, but also do sound poems, which are with drums, which is really going to be fun. And that's ending with, as I told you, David Black and Ilya Selak, also at 5:00. The books can be bought, and all of the readers have agreed to do a little bit of a question and answer session after they read. So come out. It'll be fun.
Let me just ask you one other thing, Lee, is the performing arts events that are I believe, being curated by Jan Grice. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
That take place on Sunday, I believe, at the Opera House.
Yeah, that's this Sunday, though.
This Sunday. I'm sorry. Right. That's this week. That's right. I'm totally mixed up about this. What's happening in what week? There's so much going on with Arts Walk.
Yeah, a lot. Right.
Is that's part of the literary arts program too? Is that right?
I think the performance is separate.
It's itself.
It's not part of the literary arts.
I see.
The performance.
There's a performance by the Two of Us production of a new musical, I guess, called A Tale of Two Cities. They're going to be performing the overture and I guess some part of the play itself. And then...
Well, wait, they have an orchestra of 20 instruments.
I know.
It's going to be terrific.
I don't know how it's going to fit into that small room, but they say it's going to be 20...
That's right. That's
20
what
members
I heard.
Of 20 the orchestra.
The orchestra has 20 members.
Standing room only, either for the orchestra or the audience.
Yeah, right.
I don't know which.
Right.
And then the second annual Student Playwriting and Play Reading Festival is also going to take place there at 3 p.m. And then a special performance by C. Ryder Cooley and Friends.
Right.
So that's all this weekend on Sunday at the Opera House.
That's going to be, I think, in the reception area. Ryder Cooley is going to be in the reception area.
Probably, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
With not in the room with the 20 musicians and the audience.
No. I think with Maisie, the stuffed goat, maybe.
Oh. Mm. Well, that's interesting.
That's going to be great.
Do you think we could ask Lou Azikoff to read us out today?
Is that possible?
And then we'll offer you some chocolate. And
oh, thank you.
I don't know who brought us this chocolate. Thank you so much. You rescued us.
And there's the phone ringing again. We can remind you it's Pledge Drive, and you can call 518-828-0290 if you'd like to help. 518-828-0290.
This poem was written on the eve of the first invasion of Iraq, and it's called The Conquerors. They showed us the white flower of surrender. They showed us the red. They fell down before us at the gates of their city. Terrible to behold, we hovered above them, lords of the air. We promised them the peace that passeth all understanding. We promised them the freedom of the broken knee only the conquered can know. Rumors arose, strange premonitions, a talking fish, a white crow, and news of uprisings in the distant provinces, trouble closer to home. Victims killing victims, a priest cried, who is blameless? The lords of the air who dare not touch earth, those who kill without risking death. Following the itinerary of stars, we returned to our city. There, we found they had raised in our absence at the center of the great walled marketplace a statue of Phobos, god of fear. As they fell down before us, perhaps we can be forgiven for asking, having lived so long among strangers, what is there to fear?
Thank you so much. That was Lou Azikoff reading his poem. And we've been here with Lou and Lee Gould, who is the curator of the Literary Arts Program for Arts Walk.
Yes, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for coming.